The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this Tuesday, the 25th of January, 2022. And boy, do we have a lot of news tonight to go through. So we're going to get right to it. On the board, we have the mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor.
And way out yonder, we have Pastor Joe Larson.
Good evening. Ready to go to work.
And remember the title of the message tonight?
The title, For Such a Time as This.
That's exactly right. And okay, so I'm going to do some commentary here, and then we're going to get right into the message. So here, Joe, there's only one thing that we can completely rely on and trust in as far as its truth, its accuracy, and that is the inerrant Word of God. You know?
Amen.
We see history being played out and replayed right before our eyes. We know that, like those before us that met the challenges and bought our freedom with their blood, we must preserve, Joe, that which is so dear, a price was paid, and that's the freedom. And we must do that, Joe, for our children and our grandchildren. I want to remember two fellows that did just that. They were always ready to fight the good fight, that have recently gone home to be with the Lord. And, of course, that was Pastor Bruce Pfeiffer, who was steadfast, ardent pro-lifer at 79 years old, still standing out in front of those abortion mills trying to save babies. And also, likewise, Denver Sally, ardent pro-lifer, ardent. These men were both for homeschooling. They loved their children. Good men, godly men, righteous men. The kind of men that you're proud to say that are your friends. And then, as we go through here, we're going to see that the point that Solomon's making in this passage of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is that God has a plan and a purpose for everyone, and a time and a season, and cycles of life. We were born in our time to do the work that God has given us to do, the work that's required, the work that is right now. We are to stand for the good and against the evil. And we must always be at war with the Antichrist, Democratic Communist regime, Joe. Now, Solomon also reflects on several apparent contradictions as we go through here in God's control of the world. There is, as we see in verses 16 and 17, that there's unfairness where there should be justice. People created in God's image, just like the animals, they're going to die just like the animals. No one helps the oppressed. That's verses as we go through here. Well, that's in chapter 4, actually. Many people are motivated by envy and jealousy. People are lonely by recognition of accomplishments recognition for accomplishments is very, very temporal. You know, it's why we always say, give God the glory.
Right.
And with that, I'm going to...
give us talents and abilities. So if somebody has a beautiful singing voice, it's nothing they did. They were born with it. You know, I mean, people take claim for things that really don't belong to them. It was just dumb luck or, you know, as far as they're concerned, or God gave it, which is the true answer.
Well, we often use the word proud, you know, and even though we use it in the connotation, which is a positive connotation, the Bible warns us about that. And actually, the Word of God tells us, well, what is there that the Word of God says that we have to be proud of?
Not our sin, that's for sure. There's very little we have to be proud of, except if we become born again. I think we could be proud that we've become part of the kingdom of God, but that's not in a way that we did it, just proud that we were.
Well, you see, that's
that God chose us.
That's where the definition comes in. It's that word proud should be replaced with blessed.
Blessed.
And often we say, I am so proud of my son, when we should be saying, I'm so blessed by my son.
Blessed, exactly.
Because, see, proud has the connotations that it was something that we did. And something that, and here, see, everything, the Bible says all good things come from God. There's nothing, no good, you know, that we can actually claim. If we're smart, it wasn't by our merit, our activity.
No, we didn't choose it. We didn't go pick, say, I want to have an IQ of 150. We didn't get a choice, right?
Right. Could we choose who our parents would be?
No, we couldn't choose whether we were tall, short, good-looking, red, yellow, black, white. You know, we didn't get any choices.
Back in the days when there were only two genders, could we choose our gender?
No, couldn't even choose that.
So, could we
still
choose...
Only two genders, they're just a lot of confused people.
Yeah. Could we choose when or where we would be born?
No.
So, it wasn't by our merit that we, you know, we could have been born in Bangladesh someplace. We could have been born like so many children are with no arms or legs. And so it's by God's grace that we were blessed. We were blessed. And so
exceedingly blessed.
Absolutely. To be raised up in America, the greatest nation on earth. You and I had nothing to do with being born here, did we?
No, it is a great, great blessing. And we were both brought up in Christian homes.
Yep.
Which is a blessing.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we start out in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Go ahead and read the entire... Well, read over, actually, read the entire chapter, Joe.
All right, we'll do. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. And I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart, concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him?
All right, so when we go back and we say here, when he says, I know, well, let me go back. I've seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised in it. What do you think he means by that?
Well, we all have things to pass through, and he's looking at life, and there's things that happen. There's sickness, and there's death in the family. There are wars and plagues and things that affect our lives, and they affect all of us.
And so he's talking about your labors here, too. So mm-hmm. when we take a look at that, our labors...
Farmer, you get bad summers without rain, or you get too much rain, or you get, you know, flooding when you don't want it. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that happen.
Okay, so here when he says, so that man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So we must consider our work, what we're able to accomplish, that's because we're such good people, or that's because that's our own merit, or is that a gift of God?
That is a gift of God.
And so he says here, well...
He made everything beautiful. We're the ones that mess it up.
Well, we right? read that actually in verse 13. That's what it says. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know... God. That whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. What do you think that means? Whatever God does, he will do, it'll be forever.
If he blesses, it'll be blessed forever. If he condemns or judges, it is forever. God, when he speaks, his word is forever.
So when we take a look at that, what he's saying here, what is the purpose of life? It is that we... Should we fear the all-powerful God? To fear does not mean to cringe. That's not what he's talking about.
It's not a cringing. It's an ultimate respect. And we are to take and work labor for the master, and we should rejoice and enjoy the fruit of our labor. We should, when he says that, eat, drink, and enjoy the fruit of your labor, you work for a living. You work to support your family. You work for what you earn by hard work and labor, the things that you need in life. It's a good feeling. You're to enjoy the home you have, the food you have, the family you have. These are blessings from God, but he has you work, and you see the value of work and earning things for yourself.
So when he's talking about the purpose in life, does that start with who we know or what we know?
Well, both. Because who we know determines what we know. If you don't know God, you don't know very much. If you know God, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're born again, you have a lot more knowledge.
Okay,
spiritual knowledge.
So is he telling us it's impossible to fulfill our God-given purpose unless we reverence God and give him absolute first place in our life?
Exactly.
Okay, so
we cannot be perfect. We cannot succeed without his help, his blessing, and without our being obedient to him.
When he says there's a time to kill and a time to heal, give me some examples of that.
Well, sometimes there's a war, an enemy attacks, and God says, go defend your nation. There is a time you kill the enemy. There were times God said, destroy certain people, kill them all, on his orders. And then there was times he said to make peace. He is in control of all things, and he uses people to bring judgment. He allows us to defend our families, our own life. He allows that ability. So everything goes back to his will.
So he says there's a time of to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace.
People don't like that, a time to hate, but we've talked about that before. Scripture, God says many times he hated something. And like you've always said, we are to love what God loves and hate what God hates.
Well, that's what Scripture teaches. Now,
well, yeah.
So here it says, in a time of war and a time of peace. So now, when we talked about that, what's the difference between killing and murdering?
Murder is when you intentionally go take a life and you don't have just cause. That's a murder. Killing, you can kill in self-defense, you can kill in war, but murder is when you take an innocent life, you shed innocent blood, and it's usually intent out of hatred or anger. Or some other reason.
So now, if you violate God's law because it has been legalized by man, does it make it... in other words, because something's legal but not lawful, does that give you any shelter from God's judgment?
No, it doesn't give you any shelter, any license. Man's law, God mocks or laughs at man's laws. God made the basic laws. He allowed man to set speed limits and minor things, but the basic laws about life and death, he is the supreme judge, made the laws, and that's the only thing that he is concerned with. And, you know, man's law is nothing.
So our rights come from where?
God. Our freedom comes from God. Our abilities come from God. Our blessings come from God. Kind of a theme there, I think.
All right, so now here, I was listening the other day, and they were talking about the latest polls that came out, and I think we talked about that too. And they were talking about how the greatest, more people die from, or the greatest reason for death, the cause, greatest cause of death, that's what I was looking for.
Abortion.
In the world is still abortion. But, and it was like they were in a way saying, it's okay because that's legal. It's almost like it's all right. How do you think, what do you think God says about that?
God says, thou shall not murder, and he says, thou shall not, must not, cannot, will not. I'm condensing a whole bunch of things. Shed innocent blood. So pretty much those that do that are condemned to hell unless they truly, truly repent and change. And a lot of these people we fight, the pro-deathers, I don't see many of them changing. Once in a while, one changes, and they are great converts, but the others, they usually are pro-death till their death.
So where would you say Thurgood Marshall and Black Gnome and the seven of the nine on that court of 73 are today?
Well, unless there's some repentance I don't know about, we're not going to meet him in heaven.
Yeah, I don't think there would be any repentance. I haven't heard any of that there. Some wickedness.
Don't think we're going to have to worry about having a conversation with them about why they voted that way.
Okay, so... again, that's America's national sin, abortion.
Yeah, right now, it's the world's national sin. China's been aborting. Many other countries have used abortion. So there are going to be a lot of people in hell, like the expression, hell ain't half full yet.
It's an extreme wickedness there. And in China, the country that paid Joe Biden, the Biden crime cartel, millions. What was the latest count that...
The total count of 31 million, but that included Uzbekistan and Ukraine and a few other countries and blah, blah. I didn't get the exact figure from China, but it was quite a bit of that 31 million.
Yeah, but that was directly paid to them. I'm talking about with all their deals, the way the money was laundered, it's over $1 billion. That went to the crime cartel. I'm not saying at all it went to Joey, but
I don't know that figure.
Anyhow, so in that country, that China that has done that, do you know that you can actually buy a baby and eat it, and that there are people that do that. And they will buy babies that are fully developed, 9 months born, and taken from the mothers. And the wealthy in there buy that. It costs them approximately. We sent out an article about this, and people say that is ghastly.
There's something in the blood that they think is going to give them, life strength and long longevity and. It's going to condemn them to hell for eternity is what it's going to do, but they do not see that.
It's a wickedness. Do you think the Democratic Communist Party, do you think that if they could get away with that right now, that you would see Biden and Pelosi? I believe you would see them doing that. I believe that they've gone totally, completely reprobate. I don't think that there's any area where they haven't gone completely reprobate.
No, like I haven't seen any area where there's any what I would call saving grace.
No.
I'm trying to think there's one Bible quote, something about that there's an evil, something in mankind that, one of those senior moments. Something about there's a great evil in mankind and... Yeah, no, it'll come to me at the wrong time.
Yeah, well, what you're talking about, you're probably finding over, I believe, would be in, I think it's Romans chapter 3. Well, there's a time when they said there's none that do good, not one, but that's not referring to, he's referring to the sons of man when it talks about the children of men. And the children of men, the distinction is made between the spiritual children of God, and he's talking about these that are not saved, that there's none that do good, not one. Now he said, I said in my heart concerning the estates of the son of men that God might manifest them, that they might say that they themselves are beasts. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, we have a similarity with the animals. I mean, we're born and die like the animals. We're made from the same material, same genetic. If you notice everything God done, that there's a basis in the genetic code that all life is carbon-based similarities. And he's saying it's his spirit that makes us really different.
Okay, so when he makes the point that he's trying to make is that like the animals, we're going to die, and our bodies are going to return to the dust. But the difference is, he says that the spirit goes up, upward.
Beast goes to the ground.
Okay, so what does that mean? Does that mean that there's animals in hell?
No. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, that phrase that you hear at a lot of the funerals. The beast just goes back into the elements of the earth, goes back to where it was created from.
All right, so...
The spirit that God sends to hell.
Okay, so we know people are eternal beings, and we also know that there's going to be animals in heaven. And so does that mean that did Solomon know that, or was he referring to... the fact that animals cannot have a personal relationship with God?
I don't think anything I've seen shows that animals have a personal relationship with God, no.
Okay. All righty. That sounds good. I'll go along with that.
You'll live with that one, huh?
What about the jackass that talked to Balaam, Balaam's ass.
That was the Holy Spirit or something, God speaking through the animal, using the animal to speak as a man.
Hmm. All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the fact that the bad guys most always go free. That is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us and take all our money and send it abroad. Some city schoolyards, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take command.
And you know, Joe, the good news is I can see a whole lot of old vets like you and me, grandpas that are fighting with everything they have to do exactly that, to take in the grandmas, grandpas and the grandmas out there. So many, I hear from them every day and all the letters. And I want to tell the folks out there, thank you for all of those letters. Most of them, the letters come from the ladies. And again, I want to thank you for all the encouragement that you give us, because you're such, you know, such wonderful people out there And I do want to say, again, those prayer requests that you send, we pray for every single one of them, every single. Now, I know that I cannot read and do every prayer request over the radio. That's all I would do. I wouldn't have time to do anything else. But believe me, we go down and we sit for hours in prayer, and we hold all of those prayer requests up. Wanted to say this too, for the folks too that ordered. We got a lot of orders for Dr. Cass's, the 5-book offer that he put out. We have some of those, but we're waiting on. But I got good word today that the remainder of the books are on their way. And so have a little patience with us, because we can't mail them to you until we get them from Dr. Cass. But you know, Joe, out of all the hundreds and hundreds of books that we've sent out over the year and tapes and videos, next to God's Word, the Bible, the one book that I would have, my favorite book next to God's Word, the Bible, is that Bible Answer Book, the answer for every need.
Yeah.
That is
the right scripture at the right time, every time.
So, again, the answer is right there in the Word of God, and that helps you. And I can tell you, we've sent that out to a lot of pastors who've got that book because, you know, it helps us too. I mean, we're, even those of us that have been studying and reading the Bible for years,
we have senior moments, we forget. I wrote on the inside of my front cover, one day the only important thing will be your relationship to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Keep that in mind, because that one day that will be the only thing in this world that will matter, period.
Yeah, it is. And you see, but the thing of it is that happens every day for a lot of people because, again, as we tell you this every day, by this time tomorrow, by this exact time tomorrow, millions of people that are in the world today will not be here. Millions will be gone. Because There's almost 8 billion people in the world, and people are being born every day, and people are dying every day. And the vast majority of those people have no intention on dying, do they?
Sure don't. But that phrase I was thinking, Ecclesiastes 9:3, there is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. Kind of like the beast you were talking about. There is nothing righteous in them. There is no indwelling of the Spirit.
While you're there in Ecclesiastes, go to chapter 12 and read the last 3 verses.
I had that on the desk. I'll have to get it. I shut the book. Ecclesiastes 12, go to where, 12?
Yeah, go to 12 and read the last 3 verses.
Okay.
Because that sums it all up right there.
Oh, it does. And further, by these my son be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
We have God's word on that, don't we?
Now notice, this is way back when there weren't a lot of books. And I'm thinking, he's telling us today, the making of many books. You go to the library, there are so many books written to try and explain the Bible, blah, blah, blah. You know, and most of them, I'm sorry, but they're worthless. And that phrase hit me like God knew what was going to come, and he put that in there to remind us of all the stuff that we didn't need to be spinning our wheels looking at or studying.
Yeah, you're right. Do you know, let's get to some articles. Breaking: Georgia officials tampered with and deleted hours and hours of ballot box video before it was released to the investigators. And so here you go, the corruption, just like what we told people in the beginning. According to Garland and Voter Georgia, at least 100,000 Georgia ballots lack the adequate chain of custody documents from the 2020 election. The number is...
telling people that way back when.
Yep. The number is...
finally came around to kind of proving it and proving that we were right. I'm sorry.
The number is likely much, much larger than this. Garland Favorito told the Gateway Pundit his investigation collaborates with the True the Vote ballot box investigation. The state of Georgia, Garland told us, they still have no idea how many ballots came from drop boxes in 2020. That number has been provided by the state. This is absolutely shocking that this number was never released. There you go. Well, we saw the corruption. Unbelievable, the amount of voter corruption. And all of those people that said there was no evidence, they're liars and there's not a bit of truth in them. And so and we saw it. We saw them flip the numbers right before our eyes as we were watching the election results come in. And we had Brett Baer and Chrissy Wallace and Ned standing there tell us that we didn't see what we saw. And so right before our eyes, we saw them invert the numbers. And so there you go. Fox News footage shows mass release of single adult migrants. Large numbers of single adult illegal immigrants, these are mostly all male, are being released and transported into the U.S. and Texas. Small unmarked offices and parking lots, video caught by Fox News Sunday shows, and it shows you that these guys are being taken to bus stops and dropped off. They're taken to the airports and dropped off. Fox witness men go into small unmarked office, then reemerged moments later as multiple taxi cabs then showed up to collect the migrants who were then shuffled off to nearby Arlington Airport. There were no children or migrant families among the groups. This is the collective. This is the Antichrist. This is the communist, the Democratic Communist Party, the deep state, Joe. And I'm not sure what they're going to use these guys for. But I would be surprised if they weren't used them for terrorist operations to start things to stop the election.
CBP officially replaced the border numbers for December. 178,840, that was the ones that we know of. They figure there was anywhere from 60 to 100,000 gotaways on top of that. So you figure we've had about 2 million come in this year. Oh, by the way, it's just breaking news tonight. The United Nations has been issuing cash debit cards, Pastor Ernie, to illegals who are headed for the United States. Now, keep in mind, we're the major supporter financially of the United Nations. So we, the American taxpayers, we pick up most of the UN's tabs. And then once these illegals are here, guess who's paying for these buses? Guess who's paying for the taxi cab shuttles? Guess who's paying for the airline tickets? And then guess who gets to pay for all of the benefits, the school, the schooling, the education, the health care, the other cash money? And on top of that, these illegals, when they get to the airport, guess what they're using for ID? Their arrest warrants. They're using their arrest warrants at the border for IDs to fly from Texas to wherever they're going in the U.S. when they get their flights out. Now, can you imagine taking an arrest warrant and going to the airport and trying to get on a plane?
Well, you can if you're an illegal, and you can if you've got the deep state there helping them out.
I cringe. But think about that. 2 million people. We've got a couple of states that don't have that for a population or a little less, don't we? So in other words, we're creating every year another state full of people who came here. We don't know who they are. We don't know why they came here, but we know they're coming from up to 144 different countries. We know they've been catching people on the terrorist watch list. We know that all these different gang members, these pedophiles, we're getting all kind of murders coming through America. These people are trying to totally change America, destroy America as we know it, bring in all these people that they are counting on. They, the Antichrist system, deep state Democrats, figure all these people will vote Democrat, and if they can get enough in, they can swing the national elections forever and turn us into a third world communist state. That's what's going on. This is all about how they can stay in power, how they can get in power, stay in power, and they're buying the votes by opening the borders and letting these people in. And you are paying for it. And if you're not angry, there's something wrong with you. If you are staying silent, there is something wrong with you, because you could be destroying the lives of your children and grandchildren by your very silence.
Well, what bothers me, Joe, the most is what's happening to the children. They're bringing in plane loads at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and these children are disappearing. And you know that pedophilia within the Democratic Communist Party and the deep state is rampant. And that's what bothers me. More than anything.
One of the big things, yes, it does. Well, they're also the party of what? You know, abortion, child murder. And while they're doing that, guess what? Congressman Kelly Armstrong from North Dakota, Republican, found out that the Capitol Police had been collecting data. They've been spying on Congress critters, Republicans, and on the visitors there to Congress. They're collecting all kinds of data about donors and visitors. The question is, where is this information going? Who authorized the Capitol Police to do the spying?
Nasty Pelosi.
Pelosi. Now, I didn't know that, but you're right.
You and they I work for her. They work for her.
Right. The Capitol Police work for Nancy Pelosi.
So there you go.
Welcome to the brave new world, folks, right? Oh, and guess what? I got a laugh over this. Bill Hemmer was on Fox, and he had one of those new tests that Biden's so proud of that he was going to mail out to everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what it says in the box?
What does it say in the box?
Made in China.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can't even make our own test kits. Biden has to go to China to get the COVID test kits. I mean, just, folks, think about it. We're relying on the enemy who wants to take us over, wants to control the world, that is going to defeat us in the future, and he's having this stuff made in China and shipped here. Yes, folks, we're committing suicide in this nation, as a nation, not you and I, but the powers that be are trying to commit suicide.
Let's see if this sounds a little familiar. This was taken right from Karl Marx. Here, we must combat religion. This is the ABC of materialism, consequently of Marxism. Another disciple declared that when they took over, God will be banished from the laboratories as well as from the schools. By the way, it's Christianity has all but been banished from Canada. Christianity in Canada.
Much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on here and he goes on to say, what are they trying to set up? The new idea for human relations. Listen to the words of Lenin. This is taken right from The Naked Communist. We must hate. Hatred is the basis of communism. Children must be taught to hate their parents. Sound familiar?
Yes.
So, is that what is happening, this woke movement, this anti-white movement?
That's exactly. Well, let's go back a few years. The humanist Ashley Montag was talking to the California School Board. Back in the, I think it was in the 80s. Every child in America comes to school insane at the age of 6 because of the American family structure. Then there's Chester Pierce, who is a professor of education and psychiatry at Harvard, you know, Harvard University. Every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill, because he will come to school with certain allegiances to our founding fathers, toward elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of this nation. It is up to you teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future.
Well, that's what this whole critical race theory is all about.
Exactly. Look, but see, they've been working on this since way back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. It's nothing new. They just changed names and words, but it's the same garbage, the same horse manure, you know.
Here's the words of Anatole Lunacharsky. We hate Christians and Christianity. Even the best of them must be considered our worst enemies. Christian love is an obstacle to the development of the revolution. Down with love of one's neighbor. What we want is hate. Only then will we conquer the universe. I am sure you would agree that when men like these rise to positions of power on the earth, it is indeed a challenge to the youth of the free world. Karl Marx said this. When Karl Marx was asked what his object in life was, he said, to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. And it declared war against morals, ethics, and spiritual values among the people. Marx and his associates resolved to completely eliminate the worship of the Almighty among men. Heinrich Heine declared, our hearts are filled with the compassion for it's Jehovah himself who is making ready to die. And Nietzsche said, so successful is the atheistic campaign, let the death of God be boldly proclaimed. There you go.
Hey, well, remember Peter Singer? They quote, he is a ethics professor, right?
Peter Singer is a fool, a complete and total fool. But go ahead. Yeah, I know.
He's supposed to be a ethics professor, bioethics. Christianity is our foe. If animal rights is to succeed, we must destroy the Judeo-Christian religious tradition. Yeah. So it's like the college professors, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the communists, they seem to all have the same thing in common, don't they, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, but you know what we read to begin in the program there, right from the Word of God, and that Solomon was saying that God has raised us up. It's no accident that we have been born and that you and I and that are living here and for all of his people, okay, that are called by his name. Right now, he has raised us to stand and fight hard against the wickedness, the evil, the Antichrist world system that is prevalent in our day right now. And so we're either going to run a good race, fight a good fight, and receive those crowns and hear those words, well done, my good and faithful, or people are going to try to slack off and have all of eternity to wish they hadn't done that, huh?
Yeah, and that's a long time to wish something, isn't it?
Yep.
I don't think people can wrap their minds around it, so they tend to try and just ignore it if they can't comprehend it. But eternity forever and ever and ever. But it should be enough to maybe jolt somebody into a little reality that is a very, very long time.
Yep. All right, reminder. Merrick Garland from the DOJ, that's the Department of Judas.
Judas, yep.
Quietly dismissed charges against 31 violent Antifa terrorists, while 40 American patriots rot in prison for the January 6th over 1 year with no rights. Okay, Merrick Garland is, one, he's an Antichrist, two, this guy is committing high treason. He is the enemy. He is the enemy, domestic enemy of the Constitution, of God, country, and all that's good and clean and decent. In March of 2021, the Biden Department of Injustice quietly dismissed charges against 31 violent Antifa terrorists who clashed with federal prosecutors and dismissed Federal prosecutors dismissed more than one-third of the cases stemming. Let me start. Federal prostitutes dismissed more than one-third of the cases stemming from violent protests in downtown Portland back in 2020 when Antifa protesters clashed with federal agents. Kyle Ibashi reviewed federal court records and found 31 of the 90 protest cases have been dismissed by the U.S. Department of Injustice, including a mix of misdemeanor and felony charges. So there you go.
Every once in a while, you just get the sinking feeling that there is something maybe wrong, like the news out today. The United States, the government, is set to ban unvaxxed truck drivers from crossing state borders. And I was listening to the CEO of the Truckers Association talking about the... there's kind of some severe consequences. We've got a lot of the goods coming back and forth between Mexico, Canada. You got to remember everything from our test kits, our masks, our food, our fuel, our auto parts are carried to the stores, your toilet paper, you name it, folks. It's brought by a trucker. We already have inflation because of all kinds of different problems I'll go into later. But one is also a shortage of truckers already. We have a shortage. And this CEO of the Truckers Association said these are really independent people, and he's guessing that 30 to 40% of these unvaxxed drivers might just leave the industry or shut down or just do some local driving until somebody comes to their senses. He said even if only, 3-4% of these independent truckers quit driving, it's really going to get bad out there. They're already isolated, by their job. They either drive a pair in a truck or one in a truck, and they're the ones that move America, and they only usually stop at truck stops, get diesel. So it's not like they're really going to be infecting. And we have these, 190,000 illegal immigrants coming across the borders every month with no tests. And they have everything from, who knows what they have disease-wise they're bringing in, let alone any new COVID-type things. So here we are allowing all these people in, and yet they're going to ban the truck drivers from crossing state lines. Now, if that isn't a nation trying to commit, a government trying to destroy our nation, I can't think of what is, Pastor Ernie. It's just stupid, stupid, stupid.
Well, no.
Or evil.
They're
stupid or evil.
They're the enemies of America. They're the enemies, domestic enemies. And I believe all of these young men of fighting age that they're bringing in, that Biden's bringing in, and the idea is to overthrow the government, overthrow the Constitution. I believe that's insurrection. This is what I believe. I have no doubt that that's
insurrection, not the January 6th thing. This is the real revolution, the real insurrection. Yep.
We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A lot more to come, so we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.